were left wondering whether they could still connect to Jesus without those people, whether without their Jewish synagogue which had cast them out, they could still connect. And John tells his community in that place the story of Jesus. And he particularly tells this story of what Jesus said to his bereft disciples the night he was leaving, and what I think Jesus says to us: I will not leave you orphans. I will send the Paraclete, the Spirit of truth, the Spirit of peace, the Spirit of life, the one who will help you understand everything I've been saying and who I am. Paraclete is a Greek word that just doesn't translate very well, that comes from a verb to mean to come alongside, the coming alongsider, the one who comes alongside. This is often translated as comforter, sometimes advocate, sometimes mediator. Somehow this Holy Spirit alongside creates a bridge and opens up a way into Jesus, who is entering us into God. Now, I put myself down to talk about the Holy Spirit today a long time ago, and through this week I was very dubious as to whether that was at all relevant. But if it's not relevant now, when could it ever be relevant? Because I've never really warmed to the Holy Spirit, to ideas of the Holy Spirit, and it's probably mostly because I kind of associate it with kooky behaviour, possibly even fraudulent behaviour, ecstatic utterances, tongues, healings, spontaneous words of the Lord. And none of that reflects my experience. I'm not saying it's not true and good, but it doesn't reflect my experience. I think there's also something of being a child in the 80s when other churches were having charismatic revivals and our church wasn't. And we were very dismissive of them, but I think we were probably just a bit jealous. Maybe that was just me. By reading John this year, I feel like I've encountered a different understanding of the Holy Spirit. And I've discovered that most of what I've thought of as Holy Spirit comes out of the writings of Luke, Acts, and Paul, the Apostle Paul. All the four Gospels tell us that Jesus' ministry was entirely wrapped by the Holy Spirit, from the baptism in the Synoptic Gospels, the temptation accounts. And whether it's the miracle of the Synoptics or the long narratives of John, they all tell us that the Holy Spirit is present as the referee for Jesus. It's the one to give evidence that this is the legitimate emissary of God. Where previously the Spirit dwelt in the temple, the Spirit now rests and remains with Jesus. Acts begins with Pentecost and then has the Holy Spirit go on guiding and directing a missionary program. There's dramatic healings, there's prison breaks, there's speeches in public. The spreading of the good news to new communities is the main event, and the Holy Spirit powerfully and palpably directs that. And then we have the Apostle Paul writing to churches who are new. They've just received this good news, and clearly some of them are having a charismatic revival. We can't say it's a revival if it's the first time, is it? A charismatic outpouring. And this is really challenging for them to hold. So Paul writes to churches experiencing this, talking about how will you know when it's the Holy Spirit? How can you be one body together when some of you are doing these visibly miraculous things and others are not? How will you know the Spirit is among you? What would you expect if your community is in resonance with this Holy Spirit? What will you expect to see? Love, joy, peace. Now, neither of those contexts feel very much like MHCC to me. And they don't feel like the Lutheran church I grew up in. So perhaps it's not surprising that the Holy Spirit I get out of there doesn't feel very connected to me. John says nothing about ecstatic gifts. John does not describe a community with the Holy Spirit stage managing a mission program. John is speaking to a community that's under stress. And John describes a Holy Spirit coming alongside in that place. Now this sounds more like us. So what does John say about the Holy Spirit? Because that may be the Holy Spirit we need to be in touch with. I also have to note that John lays the groundwork for the Trinity, but let's not talk about that. John is most interested in telling us about who Jesus is and that the Spirit mediates the presence of the Mother, Father, God through Jesus to us. The commentator Porsche says, Jesus makes the truth present in his coming. The Holy Spirit opens a door in the truth for believers to enter in. Jesus receives the Holy Spirit so that when he departs, he can give it. On the day of resurrection, the piece that we read today, Jesus is in the closed room with the disciples and he breathes on them. It's so physical. He breathes on them and says, receive the Holy Spirit. And there's allusions to the breath of God in creation, to the passage in Ezekiel where the dry bones are breathed on and come to life. The Spirit is about life. I'm going to briefly talk about 8 things, I promise they won't take a long time, that the Holy Spirit is or does in John. And with each one, I want us to sit with, how is that for us here? The first is that in John, the Holy Spirit is given to the community, to them together, not on their own. So look around you. All of us here share the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit's community together. The Holy Spirit will remind them of Jesus' teaching. Pause in yourself. What teaching of Jesus is being brought to your mind today? What might the Holy Spirit be reminding you of today? The Holy Spirit, thank you, will be within and alongside the disciples when they are called to speak of Jesus, to speak of their faith, to speak of what means most to them. Now, we are not on trial for our faith, but how many of us this week have found ourselves just not knowing what to say? Not knowing when to offer words and when to offer silence. How do we speak love in this space? Breathe. Allow the Holy Spirit right now to be the voice of love for you and through you for others. John says the Holy Spirit is sent to convict the world of its wrong-headed ways and reveal lies. We sing the song, "May sin never hold true that love never broke through, for God's mercy holds us and we are God's own." The lie is that love has somehow failed or abandoned us. The lie is that God somehow hands out suffering for our own good. The lie is that some hidden darkness has caused Paul's death. The Holy Spirit is sent to unveil these lies. They are lies that separate us from the love of God. But we know that nothing can separate us from the love of God. Pause and feel yourself held in the promise that you cannot be separated from the love of God. The Holy Spirit is sent to guide the disciples in truth and especially to help them understand the life and teaching and death and resurrection of Jesus and what that all meant. The Spirit of God is alongside us today to accompany our wrestling with how can this be? What does this mean? What is solid that I can rest on and what will give way? Pause. What is the question that you wish the Holy Spirit to accompany you in today? John says the Holy Spirit is sent to germinate and sustain new life. Through the entire Bible, the Spirit is associated with life, the life giver. John's stories of living water, although they don't say Spirit, can be read as the Spirit as the life giver. Life in response to Jesus is a rebirth, and the Spirit is the energy of that birthing. What is coming alive in you today? Be present to the glimmer of hope, however small, that the Spirit is growing in you today. The Spirit is sent to disclose what is to come. We don't know any details about what happens beyond death, but we know that God has promised to be life and love. So whatever is ahead beyond the passing will be defined, shaped, ruled by life and love. John expresses it in the words of Jesus as, "In my Father's house there are many places to live, and I'm going ahead to prepare a place for you. And I shall return to take you to myself, so you will be where I am." Finally, the Holy Spirit is given to the disciples because of God's great love for them. Jürgen Moltmann says, "God is our last hope because we are God's first love." Rest into that promise today. God is our last hope because you are God's first love. The life giver, the God of love, is the one called alongside and sent to us, for us. As we walk in the shadow of death, we are told that the life giver is with us. Not erasing the shadow, but somehow present within it and promising that there is more than this dark valley. Paul, in his last weeks, talked about God walking with him. He knew a sense of God walking with him. God is alongside us in this time of loss. God's Spirit, the Spirit of life, leads us to Jesus, our companion. So the words that John wrote to his community, that he remembered Jesus saying to his disciples, are spoken also to us. Do not let your hearts be troubled and afraid. I will not leave you orphans.